Hey, welcome to the 50 What Podcast. My name's Josh, and I'm here with Dane, TK91089.
For the third time, 1989. We're going to get this one of these times.
We are. So your birthday, sorry, 9-10-89. That's your TK ID. And just so everyone gets it, we recorded this yesterday and then realized that it was picking up the wrong microphone and all you heard was Dane talking to the hum of my computer. And then we started recording again tonight and all you heard was me talking and Dane was nowhere to be found. So now that we've got all the technical difficulties working out, we're going to give this a shot.
Lessons learned, a report's being made, sent up to the chain of command. Everyone's going to figure out how to do this properly every time.
Yes, yes. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody?
My name is Dane Pates. I'm out of Key West, Florida, making me the southernmost trooper in continental U.S. I think if we have any Guam members, they might technically be more southern, but that's beside it. I currently work for the Navy. I say currently because my time is coming to an end here soon. It would have been, at that point, it'd be about 8.5 years time served.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
It's gone by pretty quick for almost a decade.
What made you want to get into the Navy?
It was a whim. I've noticed a lot of things I do in life tend to be off a whim. Like I didn't put much more thought than about 15 minutes. I went, my dad did it for 20. Can't be that bad. And next day, I was like, hey, Dad, give me a meeting with the recruiter. Give me the Navy. He's like, all right. And did just that.
Nice, nice.
I guess I really didn't put any thought into it at all. And there was a little bit of thought. Like, I knew my study habits. I knew college would not be the best choice for me at that time. It still probably isn't the best choice. And I knew at least the military could structure me a little bit. I mean, I had pretty good structure growing up. Like, I had room inspections and stuff from my mother, who wasn't in the military.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's weird. But, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I did have structure growing up. It's just the military did help.
Sorry, go ahead.
It kind of helped me come out of my shell because I was always kind of a shy kid. I say that, but if you ever go through my Facebook, you see me doing all sorts of ridiculous things surrounded by people. But I kept to myself if I wasn't close to those people. And I still kind of am. But I can talk now to groups without a problem. I can be around people I've never been around before and be pretty okay and get along with just about anyone.
Yeah. I find that for me, being in the 501st, it's helped me get out there and interact with other people. I've always been kind of shy myself as well, and I'm trying this podcast out now, so trying to step out of my shell as well. What do you plan to do after?
Like I just previously stated, I do things off a whim. I don't have any solid plans. I'm thinking about going to school. I'm thinking about not going to school. I was seriously looking at Maritime Academy for a bit because I could pretty much do what I do now, except as a civilian, I kind of have a little bit more freedom. But now I'm leaning off of that and looking more into the film industry again. But the immediate job that I saw that tickled my fancy was there's a comic shop opening up in Miami, and I would love to work there because that would be cool as hell.
What comic shop is it?
I can't remember.
Is
like
it Tate's?
It's like, no, it's a brand new shop.
Nice.
Like it's a comic shop that also has like a not game room, but a LAN room. So they have a bunch of computers and stuff.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
But why it's described, there's computers and Xboxes and PlayStations set up to play with each other.
That's really neat. When I was younger, I worked at Target, and my friends that worked at Target with me, we used to go to a LAN center up here in Green Acres, and we would play Battlefield and all that stuff together. It was pretty fun. I had never experienced a LAN party or anything until that. It's pretty neat.
Me and my boys, prior to the Navy, it was a monthly thing. We had LAN parties. And then year we'd have a big one called LEF LAN. We were sponsored by NVIDIA.
Wow.
Ball's energy drink. I'm not sure if you remember that, but it was an energy drink called BAWOS, Ball's. Really good. They sponsored us. So I used to have a bunch of swag from both of them. But
nice.
I don't anymore. But yeah, I love doing LAN parties. That's the thing I miss most about being in the military. I haven't been to a LAN party in 8 years, like a true LAN party.
So now that we know a little bit about you, let's find out about how you came in contact with Star Wars. What was your first interaction with Star Wars?
If my memory recalls correctly, which it's vivid enough, I feel like this is how it went. I was a wee lad shortly after my parents' divorce. So I had to be around 6, 7. And my mom and I were walking down a street, and there's a video rental place. And she saw that A New Hope was in the window. And she stopped and looked at it, and we went inside. She rented it and obviously watched it. Obviously, I loved it. My next birthday, I got the 3-pack I consider the definitive 3-pack, which has A New Hope through Return of the Jedi. The case, the box art had the half faces, which was Vader, Stormtrooper, and Yoda. The font was blue, purple, and a maroon color for in order of the movies. And before the movies, there's a really cool interview and kind of behind the scenes things with George Lucas. I wish I knew what it said. I kind of want to just buy a copy so I can see what they have to say, because I think it's like a little commentary, and I became a big fan of that type of stuff, like the mindset of what going into the movies. And ever since then, I've been a fan. I've always been a fan of Star Wars. My cousin and Zach and I, we had a large collection of the Star Wars, the Hasbro Star Wars Action Fleet sets or figures. And what they were is just really nice detailed ships that came with little pilots, and we even had a little hill that we called Star Wars Mountain where we play with the ships and stuff. And it's always been part of my life. Even when I was not as heavily into it, I got into big Lord of the Rings period, which I'm still a big Lord of the Rings nerd. I got Elvis tattoo. Star Wars has always been a thing. I would play the games, or I would be looking out for the next movie and stuff like that. So it's always been part of my life.
That's awesome. So who in Star Wars would you say your favorite character is?
My favorite character bounces around depending on not necessarily my mood, but where I am in the lore. I recently got into the expanded universe. That's something as a kid I never did, because one, I wasn't a big fan of reading, and so the extent of my knowledge on the expanded universe was the video games, specifically Shadows of the Empire, Racer, and there's another game I used to play a lot of. I can't think off the top of my head. Those were the big draws. Aside from that, all I had was what was in the movies. And so when the prequels started coming out, I was super excited because it's more Star Wars, it's new stuff. And I'm a prequelist. I love the prequels. There are some great things in there, executed poorly.
Episode 3 is one of my favorites.
All the actors are great in the movies. People don't realize Hayden Christensen is a good actor. He was just given crappy dialogue. Natalie Portman is a great actress. She was just given bad dialogue. Qui-Gon Jinn, he's in one movie, and everyone loves Qui-Gon. He's, to me, he is the quintessential Jedi. That is what Jedi should be. That is who Obi-Wan becomes. He becomes Qui-Gon, essentially, by the time we see him in A New Hope.
He does, yeah, he definitely does.
And Qui-Gon wasn't on the council, because he was very rebellious. He thought the council was too uppity and too up their own butts to see that there are problems. And that's something I love about Qui-Gon. I think he Liam Neeson does not get enough credit for doing that wise mentor so well. And the fact that he came back to do it for Clone Wars is awesome.
Yeah, definitely, I like that.
But to answer the question, who is my favorite character? Again, it depends on where I am in the lore. Recently, I actually got into the books and the expanded universe that way. I started with Tarkin, then I moved on to Bloodlines, and then Ahsoka. I recently got done with Thrawn, and currently my favorite character is Tarkin. There's something about the guy that's really interesting. His upbringing from a high-class family that is disrespected because where he's from, I find really interesting. The fact that his family would send him at a young age into the wilderness to survive on his own is a really interesting thing. They do this to him every summer, and they make the stakes higher and higher. I find really interesting. And the story is really cool. You can see interaction, more interaction between Vader and Tarkin, something you don't get to see very often. Like, and Tarkin kind of figuring out that Vader might have been Anakin Skywalker at one point. But he doesn't explicitly say, oh, yes, it's he was Anakin. He goes, he seems familiar. Like, he knew the guy and it reminds him of Anakin. That type of stuff. I think really cool. And so, just as of late, Tarkin's been my boy. He's been really interesting. He's ruthless. He's an evil bastard, but he's an interesting person. He's like Erwin Rommel, one of Hitler's top generals. He was a Nazi, hands down. But he's a very interesting one when you look at his history.
Cool. So, how did you hear about the Legion?
I've seen them at my first con, which was in Virginia, and saw what they were, but didn't realize what they were or how to get into it. And if you go to a con, it's likely you'll see the Mando Mercs, and I saw them too. Again, wasn't quite sure about it. A couple years later, I saw them again at a con, a different con, and actually understood how do you get in, stuff like that. But I didn't see the 501st. I bought the complete Saga Blu-ray collection, which has 1 through 6, and a couple bonus discs. And on one of them, there's a documentary about the 501st, and specifically how they managed to do the 2007 Rose Bowl Parade. And that's when I truly heard about them and got really interested. And I was like, man, I need to join up with these guys. To you Everglades guys, there's at least one or two people in that the documentary focuses on that are part of the Everglades squad or were at one point.
That's awesome. I've never seen it, so I'm gonna have to look for that.
Next time I'm up north and I have it with me, I'll let you borrow it. It's how I convinced my buddy Colin to start seriously considering the 501st.
Nice.
Like, I showed it to him and his brother, and they were like, this is awesome. But at that time, Colin was also currently working on his Biker Scout, and I brought my TK to him. And so he got to see what it's like in person and stuff like that. And so we got to do some silly things in our kits.
Nice. Very nice. So, what does the Legion mean to you?
From outsider's perspective, it is a group of nerds who like to get together and dress in plastic space armor, which that is true. However, what most people don't see is what we do for the communities and the people around us. The reason why we go to these cons is not to show off our stuff, but to inform people of charities that we're working with, to raise money, to bring smiles to children's faces. That is what the creator George Lucas said about Star Wars itself. That is why he did it, to make children happy. And that's,
you hit the nail on the head there. Yeah. Well, we raised last year for over $4,300 for Children's Miracle Network at SuperCon.
Jeez, it's so much money. It's ridiculous. And it is. It's like, it's great seeing people just light up. Like, just, I don't know what it is about a stormtrooper, but they make people smile. Like, that is awesome. I was walking from my place to a gas station in my armor, and I live on a highway, and people pulled over just to get a picture with me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like, it's crazy.
So what were you walking to the gas station in your armor for?
I needed milk.
So you just thought it would be, hey, I'll just throw my armor on and go get some milk.
Half the reason why I got it is because I wanted to do really normal everyday stuff. Stuff that would normally be boring in armor, because it'd be really funny. I mean, I was minding my business and I see a TK at the grocery mart, I couldn't stop looking away. I would be mesmerized.
I would pull out my phone to myself,
and then I would try to get pictures. Yeah, that is the process of it. And if I know I would have that reaction, I know at least three other people would. And that's the reaction I like getting out. People are like, I like seeing the smile. Like, because somebody could be having the worst day of their life, and that smile could help them not kill themselves.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's that thought is really nice. And yeah, comforting.
I did 911 dispatch for 2 years, and
really?
Suicide calls that I got, and it's just like you have to try and talk to them and just be a person to them. That's all they want. So you're right. That person seeing you in their costume could realize, wow, you know what? My life's not that bad. Look at that guy dressed up, looking all funny, and that could change their mentality about life. You're right.
That's something that the military and the 501st actually help me kind of process is, you mentioned you're kind of shy, and a lot of shy people, there are shy people who are shy because they just don't like people. There are also people who are shy because they're not happy. And one thing both of these organizations taught me is to just do it. And I mean that in the most literal way. Is like, I have an idea. It's kind of crazy, but I want to do it. You wanted to start a podcast and you did it. And I think military teaches you how to do that. And I think being part of the 501st with so many encouraging people, it really helps. I really do think.
Yeah,
it does.
I have to say, the biggest thing that got me to do the podcast, and I'm going to give a shout out to another podcast, WP Innovator. It's not a Star Wars podcast at all. It's really just a business podcast about for web design agencies. But like literally, that's all they talk about is like, just go and do it. If you have something you want to do, don't wait and don't try and plan everything out so everything's perfect. Just go and do it. And yeah. I have to say, Lee Jackson from WP Innovator, he's the one who, listening to him, it pushed me to do this. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I have a basic microphone. I got the software. I can do this. So here we are. But
Kevin Smith was also an inspiration for me. Like, say what you want about his movies. Some of them aren't that great. Some of them are brilliant.
I didn't hear the name. I'm sorry. Who?
Kevin Smith.
Oh, okay. Nice.
He started a podcast network some years back, about a decade ago. And he often goes around talking to people, just talks and Q&As. It's part of how he makes his money when he's not making movies. He goes to cons and stuff like that. Last year, SuperCon, not last year, 2 years ago, SuperCon, he did an evening with a Q&A with him. And he said, if you take anything out of this, when you leave here, if you have an idea, no matter how dumb, how silly it is, just do it. Don't hold yourself back. Because the worst thing that happens is it doesn't work out. But at least you tried.
Yeah. Yep. Like, I actually plan to bring my iPad with a decent little microphone to SuperCon this year. And I'm actually going to take some time at the booth and do a live podcast from the booth, interviewing not us, but our fans. People who come to the con just to see us and take pictures with
that
us.
That would be really cool.
And just so everybody can get an idea of, like, you know, we are normal people, and we have normal people who enjoy talking to us that don't want to join. They just enjoy watching from the distance.
Oh, the most common question is, though, how much for the helmets?
Yeah, that is. It really is.
Like you selling these right here? Like, no, we can't. Like, this is Steve's. I can't sell his.
Yeah, it's like no, that's somebody's helmet, and they don't believe you. So you have to, like, take it off the stand and flip it over and be like, look at the padding on the inside. Really? See the sweat marks? Yeah, so you kind of answered it already, but maybe just if you could sum up what exactly the Legion means to you.
It means, I can't define it as a single, sentence, but it's more of the vibe it brings off, the aura. And it's a community that have a similar interest, and that is to make people smile.
Nice, yeah. Before joining the Legion, did you have that same impression, or were you just kind of like from a distance, you don't really know what it is, but you kind of know what it is?
All I knew is these guys had Star Wars armor, and I've always wanted some. I've always loved the look of the Imperial officers, always loved the look of Stormtroopers. And I just, the reason why I got my first job was to get Stormtrooper armor. And when I realized what they were, I saw, oh, that is a way I can get it. It was through them. But I didn't realize all the community, how involved with communities they were. I didn't realize they raised so much money. I didn't realize they go on these hospital visits, stuff like that. And So as an outsider, it was just a bunch of guys in armor, and I wanted some.
Yeah, like you mentioned hospital visits, and the Legion just posted one that apparently was just done, I believe, in Texas. And I reached out to the two troopers that did it, and they want to remain anonymous for the families, and I'm not going to mention any names of it, but there was a little girl who wanted to meet Darth Vader. That was her make-a-wish, and things ended up turning worse quicker than they expected, so the troop that was planned had to be canceled. And Darth Vader from Texas, along with I think a TK, they rushed as quick as they could to the hospital. And I just remember reading on the Legion page that as Darth Vader stood there talking to her, even though she was not responsive, her monitor started to react to him because she could hear his voice. And it was really, really touching. It was really like, that's what we do it for right there. Things like that, to just touch people. It's amazing.
And the nice thing is, I've yet to do one of those troops. That's not the nice thing. That actually sounds really grim. But the nice thing about those type of troops is just about everyone has a bucket and a mask on. And so any tears that are being shed, or any like the troopers themselves who are emotionally affected by what's happening around them, they can hide it and stay in character a lot easier.
Yeah. Yep. You're right. So, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. No. Speak.
what would you say your favorite Star Wars movie is? Which one?
My default answer is Jedi. I love Return of the Jedi.
Nice.
Something about it. It's the introduction of the Tyner Scepter, the music. Something about it I really like. Even as young, like when I was really young, I really liked the movie. As I got older, I realized that there's the story of redemption, like the story with Luke and his father and Palpatine, the way they interact with each other, how Luke is tempted to go to the dark side. But he's like, no, I will not be like my father. Track me down, Emperor, do whatever, but I will not kill him. Nice. Out of rage.
Yeah.
But with that said, the best movie, like as a film, is Empire. It's such a beautiful movie. Like some of the shots in that movie is beautiful. The music, the twist. It is just, there's a reason why it's considered the best sequel ever made.
True. It's very true.
That's a solid movie. That's why they always say it's the Empire Strikes Back of this. They don't ever say anything else. They always refer to, like, when a sequel is really good and goes dark in tone, they refer to Empire. It's that good of a movie.
Yep.
But my favorite is Jedi.
So, speaking of movies, I believe I saw a movie that you were in.
Yes, I was in a short film shot a while back ago. It's been about several months now. I'll have to hunt that down and provide you links.
But it wasn't you as you. It was you as what, a stormtrooper, right?
Yes, I was a TK, and it's almost been a year now that I think about it. Shortly before the release of Rogue One, Lucasfilm had a short film contest called Go Rogue, and they pretty much laid out the rules: submit a film with roughly this length. They provided sounds and music, and if you won, you got to go to the premiere. I didn't go to the premiere. I did not go to the premiere. There we go. So obviously, I did not win. But it was a really fun day. Like it was. We started at 07 in the morning, and I filmed till about 1 o'clock when I had to drive back to Key West because I had work to do that day. I'm actually kind of the star of it, but you never see it.
I was gonna say, weren't you the in that movie? Look, you were the rookie, right?
Yeah, I played the rookie up until the end. Spoiler alert: the rookie takes off their helmet at one point, and it's a chick. But throughout the whole thing, it's me. And I was. It's funny. There's a couple little anecdotes. The blaster I'm using in that is a actual replica, so it's metal.
Nice.
And it's heavy as hell. Like, you can definitely see when like certain things are filmed on how I'm holding the blaster, because it's like so much heavier than like what I have, which is a hyperfer. And that shortly before filming, I was walking through the water and something called king tide came in. King tide is high tide on a full moon. And so the water is just a lot of water at once and knocked me over. And I broke off my knee plate and I lost my glasses in the water. I didn't realize I lost the glasses until like 5 minutes afterwards.
Oh, man.
Otherwise, I picked them up immediately. And so I did the whole troop blind. Like, I'm legally blind, mind you, without my glasses, and I had to drive all the way back to Key West without my glasses.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Oh, it was terrifying. Well, driving through Miami.
Disclaimer, we don't recommend driving without your glasses.
Driving through Miami was the worst part. Going down US 1 was.
Yeah, because you need to read those signs.
Yeah. Like, I go down US 1 so often, I could probably do it with my eyes closed.
Yeah.
But I definitely was super cautious.
Oof.
But what bums me out about losing those glasses were they were original BCGs.
Oh, wow.
And BCGs, for those who are not initiated, are what the military call birth control glasses. They're very big. They're very not fashionable. But they don't make those anymore. They stopped making them a couple years ago. And so now we get what we call hipster glasses. They're just dark framed glasses now. And they're fashionable. They look decent.
Oh.
And but it's like I was, had this pair since boot camp. And I was like, oh, man. Like, they're damn near indestructible. But it was it was real fun, so I'm not that bummed. And the guy compensated for it. In fact, actually, I still have the check on my desk. I'm looking at it right now. He compensated for the specs and stuff like that. And
that was nice.
This wasn't a troop. Yeah, it was not an official troop because we got paid.
Yeah.
Reached out to the Legion because they knew we had the resources.
Yeah, I remember we had to ask a lot of questions about that to make sure that it was okay with the Legion, and he didn't put in the video that it was 501st members, yeah. So that's what made it all right. But, yeah,
he just said, "Here's where these people."
Yeah, exactly. So, would you say since that's not a troop, what would you say your favorite troop of all time is?
The Make-A-Wish one was really fun because I got to see so many of us together. But hands down, without a doubt. And I wasn't technically trooping for this. I was a handler, was the Weird Al. That is an experience I will cherish forever and highly recommend anyone who's remotely interested to do. 10 out of 10 would do again. Now, for those who don't know, a handler is the people that help us get dressed and help us guide through stairs, corridors, stuff like that. Because unless... If you've never put on any of our helmets, most of us can't see anything. All of us TKs can't see our feet, and so we can't see stairs. Seven Sisters can only see their feet. What's your vision like, Kylo?
Mine's pretty decent. I'm pretty sure it's not as good as a TK. Due to the mesh and my glasses, because I wear my glasses underneath my helmet, which a lot of people can't fit their helmets over their glasses. But yeah, so my glasses end up pressed against my face at the corners. It leaves marks.
My nose is all tore up by the end of a troop because of my glasses.
I think I can see better than I can hear because my helmet doesn't have a lot of room, so I had to put my fans right next to my ears.
So
I don't hear anything. It's like people call my name and I'm just standing there like,
I just got fans installed in my bucket and nice. They're at my chin, and that's really nice.
Yeah, that's smart. I now have a switch right at the base of the helmet next to my chin, so I can pop my thumb up and turn them on and off when needed.
Nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely the Weird Al troop. And
so I've never done that troop before. What exactly is the Weird Al troop about?
Okay, so Weird Al is a nerd. If you haven't figured it out, he's a nerd. The songline Nerdy, he said he did not have to do much research for. Now, near the end of his show, he does two of his Star Wars songs. I think he has three, but he definitely has two. Yoda and The Saga Begins. For those songs, he has Stormtroopers and Vader come out and sing and dance with him. Ish. Like, it's kind of more mimed dancing, but we're out there performing with him. Now, he contacts the Legion and asks for our help because he knows that one would do it because most of us are fans. Two, he knows it's also cost effective. He doesn't have to hire a bunch of people. And people with armor. And three, he knows that it's accurate enough that the nerds in the audience, when they see the stormtroopers, know they're correct. And that's exactly what happened. We get to hang out back, like, we get to into the show for free. We get to watch probably about half of it with seating, and then we go downstairs, change up, and then the last bit we watch from the side stage until we're required to be where we're needed to be. We do a couple practice runs backstage to the music so we know what to do, because they give us a brief description of what we gotta do. So, but afterwards he does a meet and greet with every one of us. He'll sign anything you hand in front of him. He'll talk to you a little bit. Super nice guy, super chill. He looks great for a guy who's as old as he is, because I think he's almost 60. I definitely know he's late 40s, early 50s. And he moves, and he's a lot of energy for somebody his age. Like, it's like seeing Rob Zombie. That guy is really old, but that guy has so much energy on stage. It's awesome. But yeah, if you're a fan, I highly recommend doing it. And it was, that troop was a dream come true. It really was. I've always wanted to meet him. That was my second or third time seeing him live. And it's really cool seeing it from that perspective.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't get to make that, but I did get to go to the 501st Bash at Celebration, where he did his only show for this year. That was pretty exciting. Did you get to go to that?
Yes, and that was really cool. Like again, as a big fan, get to see Weird Al again. And that was almost the selling back to go to the Bash. I'm like, the 501st Bash. And then it said, was private performance by Weird Al. I'm like, yeah, well, gotta get that ticket. And because I was thinking about it, but that was what really, that was the, oh yeah, I'm definitely going. And that was really cool because as a fan, he played a couple songs he doesn't usually play, Albuquerque being one of them. I know he's done it a few times, he just doesn't do it very often because it's like 11 minutes long. And then he did it, like an extended version of it, which was kind of cool.
Nice. Yeah, I remember seeing that. Did you, you went to Celebration then too, or just the Bash?
Yes. I actually keep my 4-day pass on my keychain for my Jeep.
Nice. So,
like, I loved it. If anybody listening is thinking about going, do it. Even if it's one day, do it just to check out the spectacle of all the people in costumes, of all the vendors selling stuff. I mentioned Action Fleet figures earlier, and one of my missions there was to find a vendor that sold very specific ones. One being a Lambda Shuttle, because that's my favorite Star Wars vehicle. Another being a TIE Interceptor, because that's my second. And the third being Darth Vader's TIE Fighter. And I found all three in box, and they're currently out of box on my shelf, because why buy a toy they can't play with?
Right? I agree. I got my Kylo Pop, my only pop that I ever got, and I took it to work and immediately took it out of the box, and everyone was like, why'd you take it out of the box? It's like, because why should it sit in the box? It now sits on my desk.
I got a fucking bobblehead from there. Bobblehead.
Nice.
And he's on my dashboard, commanding the bridge.
That's awesome. So,
yeah.
Other than Weird Al with the with handling, what was your favorite trooper you dressed up?
Aside from that, the Make-A-Wish was really fun. Again, partially because of what it represented, and partially because it was the first time seeing so many of us together, and us in partner with the Rebel Legion, which is our sister group, which it's
us, and there were,
as Rebels.
Yeah, there were a few Mandalorian mercs there as well.
Yeah, one or two mercs that were there. That was really fun. And then we did the Palm Beach car show, which was really fun. It was an outdoors event. Beautiful day. I see a lot of really cool cars. Got to just take photos with a bunch of kids and stuff. It was real fun.
That was the one with the police department, right?
Yes, the police department was there. Yeah, fire department was there. We got some great photos with they have like a SWAT truck that we have some photos with. There's a picture of Howard arresting me on a police bike. Like, he's writing me a ticket and stuff. I'm like, what the heck, man?
That was the Coral Springs car show. Yeah, I remember that. I was there for that one. That was fun. Yeah.
That's it. Concerning Celebration, because I said at least go one day, there are a lot of things going on at any given time, from panels that creators are giving, like Dave Filoni has an animation panel every year. There's a Rebels panel. Mark Hamill did two or three panels. One of them was like just him venting about the loss of Carrie Fisher, and it was tragic. It was funny. He gave great stories and anecdotes about Carrie. But my personal favorite was another podcast, essentially. Lately, in the last couple of years, I've gotten to watching movie reviews, and I became a fan of this group called Collider. They're like an actual kind of a big name thing. Like, their reviews are solid, but they also have kind of a fun side to them where they do a movie trivia show off. They call it the Movie Trivia Schmodown. And a couple of the runners are big Star Wars fans, huge Star Wars fans. In fact, they have their own podcast called Jedi Council, which I highly recommend watching. But they had Sam Witwer and Freddie Prinze Jr. on for the Schmodown, and it was a Star Wars-only Schmodown. And it was those two versus two of the Collider guys, and that was great. And they also had one where it was Sam versus Freddie Prinze, and that was great. Well, because a couple upsets, they had a rematch. There's a rematch at Celebration. There's a room full of like 600 people, and it was outstanding. I highly recommend watching all three of those, and then just watching the other stuff, because it's good stuff. But those trivia showdowns are great. And if you're like me, like to test your knowledge of Star Wars, it's one of those things. There's basic questions and there's deep questions, like the name of, like, the model type of the Millennium Falcon, like what type of freighter it is. It's a YT-300, if I remember right, or blaster designated, like what type of blasters do certain people use, stuff like that. And I love that type of stuff. If there's anything I'm good at, like exceptionally good at in this world, it's random factoids. And I know so much about Star Wars that it's almost cheating now. That and Lord of the Rings. But, nice. That was probably my favorite panel I attended at Celebration.
Yeah.
Did you go to any cool panels while you were there?
No, I only got to go Saturday. I had to work the other days, and I just ended up wandering around, checking out the vendors, hanging out the 501 booth, room, I should say.
Awesome.
I tried to go to the droid room, and there was a line to get in.
So that line was crazy. Like, I wanted to take photos in costume, but I couldn't.
Yeah, I was like, I'll come back. I took Kylo with me, but when I got there, it was like, you know what? I've never been to one before, so I was like, I'm just gonna take this in and see what it's like. And it was fun. I'm glad I didn't dress up. I did dress up for a little bit for the bash, took a few pictures with some people, and then I changed back into my normal clothes.
Taking any photos? Did you take the Legion photo?
I didn't. I wasn't able to because I drove up that morning.
So you didn't go up to the afternoon then.
No, I went in the morning. I went about because we left early, but I drove up, and while the Legion picture was going on, I was checking into my hotel room across the street. So. Yeah.
I've never seen so many stormtroopers in one. I've never seen so many wampas in one location. And there's only three of them.
Yeah. The helmet's on picture. I can pretend I'm there and I can just point to somebody that looks like a black dot.
Right? Like, you'd have to, like, for me, like, I know exactly where I was, and there's different angles, and there are people are like, hey, there you, Dane. I'm like, oh, sweet. You're actually looking out for me. That's kind of cute.
Yeah, there was one guy tasked, I think it was Ben. He used to be on our squad. He lives up in Orlando now. Tasked his child with going through and red dotting every single person. So
is
they could
that
count.
Who did that?
Yes, that's who did that. So they could count how many people were in the picture.
Like 800 something?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That's crazy. Which is like, it sounds like a lot until you realize that the Legion is 10,000 strong.
Yeah.
So it was only a fraction.
And every day it's adding new members.
Yeah, like I encourage people all the time, like, try it out. Like, you don't have to do full armor. Do like after I bought my kit, when I started saying, hey, this is what I'm doing, Howard got hold of me and said, hey, the easy, honestly, the easiest way to get in is to do a soft goods, like a Thai Reserve or something. It's the cheapest, yeah. And but it'll give you all the privileges of somebody who had full set of Sandy armor. And I was like, oh, and that's advice I pass on to everyone. Like,
yep.
Give it a shot. It's a cool group. If you want to be a fan, like, hell, if you want the armor just to put on a mannequin and hang in your place, but you know it's right, you can still do that.
Yeah. You just got to remember to at least show up to 2 troops a year to remain active.
Yeah.
But, So are you working on any other costumes then?
Yes and no. I mean, it's yes. Yes is the answer. People are always working on costumes, even if they're taking their sweet time.
True.
I have my standard TK. It's he's a trooper. He's been through some rough times. My butt plate has a nice crack in it. But I'm currently working on another TK that I'm going to, when I'm done with that, I'm going to convert my old one into a heavy weapons. And I'm also working on an officer. There are pictures of me in it. They're great pictures taken by our lovely Daylin. Takes lovely photos.
Nice. Yeah, she just did a photo shoot for Jason.
Yep, and those photos came out great.
Yeah, they did. Amazing.
I feel bad for Jason getting all the salt out of his uniform because it takes forever. from experience of that film shoot, it takes forever to get the salt out. But then you get the uniform tightened a little bit and the jodhpurs, the pants adjusted a bit. But I love the officer uniform. I don't want to toot my own horn on this one, but I look great. I have that look. My hair, and I have a military cut, but it's really long, and so I have that 70s look. Like, I belong when I'm not wearing the hat. It's great. Right now I have a ridiculous mustache, and so I just look like I'm red from the era.
Nice.
But are you working on anything else? You have Kylo.
Yeah, I'm working on Droid right now. I have the dome in the closet uncut, and I have all this plastic cut. I just got to start gluing everything together. I'm actually going to work on that over this 4-day weekend that I have.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be...
What's the average build time on one of those?
Well, I thought, and I was very courageous when I bought everything back in the beginning of the year, and figured I could have it done in a few months in time to go to Celebration. And that was a huge reality check after I ordered everything and started reading the forums. And the average build time is a little over a year to 2 years.
Huh. Well, I've been told TKs take about 6 months, and I got my first one done in 2.
Nice.
The first time I did it, I got it done in a week. And then when I presented it to Howard, he's like, no, you have to change this, 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 and this. And I went, oh. And he literally started taking it apart then and there. My heart was broken, but I knew it was for the better.
Nice. Yeah. Other than that, no. It's not gonna be R2 per se. It'll be C2B5, which got like 1 second of screen time, which he was supposed to get more. That's why there's so many toys of him. But I just loved the Imperial color scheme, black and chrome. I think that look was very beautiful.
That is a cool look, and it's almost reminiscent of the TIE pilots.
Yeah.
It's often associated with Krennic, but like I feel like that would be like a TIE pilot's astromech. Like it just looks like it should be.
Yeah, and I think it'll fit in well, like when we have our booths at SuperCon and all those.
Oh yeah, and it is really weird that we have an R2 unit at our booth.
And we normally have more than one. That's what worries me. You know, it's like I don't want to build something where there's like 4 of them, and it's just another one to add to the list. I want it to like stand out and look like it's meant to be at our booth, and not like we captured and stole it.
Right? Or the Boba Fett one.
Which, exactly.
Don't get me wrong, that Boba Fett one is cool as hell. But it's just like, Boba Fett droid? What?
Yeah, right? He actually moved to, I think, North Carolina.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Were you there when it got knocked over?
I wasn't there when it got knocked over.
I just missed it.
I was there when it ran into the actor who plays Boba Fett's leg. Yeah.
I mean, so. He'd be like, Daddy. That's not, like, he was just happy to see his daddy wanted to give him a hug.
What happened was he left it parked there. The actor was like, yeah, you can leave it here. They left it parked while he was signing autographs and everything, so people would be like, oh, that's so cool. And the guy who had it had the remote in his pocket and didn't realize the remote was still on, and he was within range of it, and he hit the remote, and it ran right into his leg.
amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But yeah. So if anybody, like, what advice would you give to somebody looking to join the Legion?
I would, the same advice the guy said earlier, just do it. The worst thing that happened is you spend some money and it goes nowhere, right? But the community is very embracing. Like, we are there to help you because we know it can be expensive. We know that it can be difficult. We know a lot of people have never done anything like this in their lives. I've never done anything like this. But, like, build a stormtrooper? Like, I had no idea where to start.
Yeah, me neither.
But this community is willing to help. There are people that will sell things for you. That's then you pay them a little bit. They'll sell, sell you a blouse or something. I think what you ordered a big chunk of yours, didn't you? Like somebody.
I did. I actually got lucky. I was looking around for, because I can't sew for anything.
Right.
And I looked around on like Etsy and everything for a tailor to make my costume because I knew the requirements, you know. And I found a few vendors and they all were like 6 to 9 month wait time, but you have to pay me now. And I was like,
you're very iffy about that too.
Yeah. And so I found this one person who had like one picture and a basic little ad, and I sent her a message and I'm like, look, it has to meet these requirements. She's like, it will, don't worry. I'm like, how long? She's like, probably about 2-3 months. And she goes, if you want, you can pay me half now and half when I'm done. I paid her all up front just so I wouldn't have to worry about it. She made a special listing because I was so like paranoid, like if this doesn't match the requirements, yeah, you know, I want my money back. So she made a special listing just for me that had the 501st requirements in there. And her Etsy is Black Rabbit Cosplay, and she legit did it in the time she said she would. The funny thing, come to find out, is she lives in Orlando and she does part-time work for Universal making costumes.
Oh, so yes, she just needed your measurements, and that's pretty much it.
Exactly. She sent me a thing with a picture of Kylo in the places where I needed to get measured. It was so cool. And I recommend her to so many people because me and my dad sell Kylo helmets on Etsy. So when people would be like, hey, where'd you get your armor as well? I would tell them, you know, hey, this is the girl I went to. She refers people for helmets to us. And then I referred somebody that's local that's looking to do a character from the episode 7, and she's looking into making a special costume for her that's not Kylo. Yeah, so that should be interesting.
Which character?
I don't want to ruin it because it would be one of a few that there's not too many. She's pretty excited about that, so I'll let her expose herself when she's ready.
That was actually kind of my big concern. I guess that's a lot of people's big issue with Anovas. That's the company I got my kit from. There are several vendors out there on the boards, but I saw, because I'm a fan of Adam Savage and Mythbusters. Adam Savage has a podcast and a YouTube channel called Test It. And Anaheim, the Novus company, had a booth, and they're Disney licensed to make armor screen accurate, and they had exclusives of the Shadow Troopers that they just were releasing, and so they had them build them and put them on, stuff like that. I saw that and I was like, that is awesome. Being single, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I get paid a good deal right now. I said, to hell with it, I'm going to give it a shot. Ordered it and I got my kit within 2 months.
Nice.
A lot of people here wait a couple years, whoever's waiting for theirs right now, I apologize because I ordered another kit a couple months ago and got it again in a couple within 2-3 months. Nothing busted or anything.
You're gonna have to tell everybody your inside source that's getting you all this stuff quick.
Right? Like, I'm in the military, I got my contacts, that's all I gotta say. But yeah, like I was really lucky to get it quick. There's a guy on the FISD, the First Imperial Stormtrooper Detachment boards, he's currently working on a Rogue One master mold to start making, and it is beautiful. It's so hard for me not to buy it because it's so good. Because the thing is, when they looked at, like, when they did start designing troopers for Rogue One, they said, hey, we got to have the original troopers. But if you look at the original TKs, a lot of the stuff is painted on, painted badly, is not made to be seen up close in high definition. And so what they did, they took that design and amplified it. Like, what are these implying? And so things like the blue stripes on the tubes are now, are on the cheeks are now set in. All the silver parts on the helmet are metal pieces that are set in. And so they just flesh out a lot of the details, and they look so good. They really do. And if you're like most of us nerds, we have this eye for detail, and the detail work that goes into it is just, it's mind-boggling. It's so, like, I don't know, I love it, and that's what I like about the Kylo costume, that there's a lot of small details that you don't realize, that like the fabric isn't just a fabric, there's a design to that fabric. His belt is kind of intricate. For as simple as it is, there's a lot going on it.
Yeah, there is. And when I started it, I didn't realize how much there was in it. And it's like, wait, how many layers do I need to wear?
Yeah. It's like five or six. It's a lot of layers. Like, you got
there's a lot of layers.
The robe, like, there's an undersuit, there's a neck seal, there's the helmet. Like, there's a lot going on to that costume. There's, like, the hood.
Yeah, and they've made some changes to it now, to where for like the two different versions of Kylo, and you don't have to have certain pieces for a certain version, so that was nice. But I still wear all the pieces. I figure I bought them and might as well wear them.
Right, might as well.
So, is there anything else you want to add about the Legion that we haven't discussed before we let you go?
Nah, I got nothing though. Like, I can only say good things about it and the people in it. I mean, like every organization, you will find somebody you don't like, but you will also meet friends and people you do like. And even if you don't like a person, they'll probably still help you.
Yeah, with things. Yeah, that's like, true.
You don't have to agree with them on everything, but we all agree that Star Wars is awesome.
And that's the one thing I like, is even if you don't get along with somebody and you don't see eye to eye to them, you show up to a troop, you put a helmet on, guess what? That goes out the window until you're done, and then you can go home and not like that person some more.
Right? I highly encourage, if you're even considering it, just give it a shot. Reach out to us on the boards. We'll be friendly. We'll welcome you with open arms.
And we'll definitely point you in the right direction of what you're looking to do. Yep. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk with me again.
Not a problem. Like, seriously, I can talk about Star Wars all day. Like, yeah, nice. When it comes to even the music or the movies, or like what I like about the movies or the vehicles and stuff like that. Like, I recently got into a hobby of model making, and I've started building. Like, I have a fleet of TIE fighters. Like, I have every variation of the TIE fighter for the bomber, and an AT-ST that completely painted and built myself. I'm getting really proud. I could talk about vehicles for an hour if I needed to. So if you need somebody to kill time, I will find a way to do it about any subject Star Wars.
Definitely, yeah. We'll have to do an all about Star Wars with Dane episode. I would be okay with that. I definitely would. All right, well, thanks again for taking the time out. And
no problem.
Have a good night or day, depending on what time you're listening. Dark side.